Reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress." We got any people here that came out of distress? I came out of distress. Amen. "In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeats, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Lord, I thank you for the ability to stand up here this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you do in those children this morning and through those children. Lord, that you do work in our homes, in our workplaces. Lord, that you are at work all around us. And we glorify you this morning, Lord, and we celebrate your coming at Christmas time. That indeed you are the reason for the season. And we give you praise this morning. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. It is, now I see my wife fanning. I've been working with the temperature. It's 71, but it tends to be a little bit, doesn't work. Don't turn that on. Thank you. So, who's hot? Who's freezing cold? All right. Wife, slide, go find a seat under a fan, ma'am. There's one over there. That fan's burning over there. All righty. Hey, we come to Christmas time, and I wanted to kind of do a little thing on where does Santa come from. And Christmas time in 1823, the poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," has no mention of Santa. You have St. Nick. In 1842, the classic by Charles Dickens, Christmas Carol, and the focus on Ebenezer Scrooge. Has anybody watched Christmas Carol this year? Scrooge. No mention of Santa. Indeed, in 1862, Roland Macy took a gift-giving gnome named Sinterklaas around New York. And he would give little trinkets out. And he placed, installed Sinterklaas in his stores so that people would come and buy more Christmas gifts. Santa Claus is indeed a commercial endeavor. We get our current version of Santa, a big, jolly, happy guy with a twinkle in his eye, from Coca-Cola. They were looking for a way in the 1920s to sell their soda in the winter. And so they looked for something red that they could tie into, and Santa, as we know him, was born. And this is the Santa. Oh, I'm looking out here. I guess it's a little late now. Yeah. Sorry, JJ, I'm going to crush you here. It's a joke. It's a joke. All right. This is the Santa we are looking for. He comes once a year and does all the nice things for us that we are looking for. Title is today's message is, All I Want for Christmas is a Miracle. We're in a series called All I Want for Christmas. And we started off a couple weeks ago in the book of Luke and the visit of the angel Gabriel to an old priest, Zechariah, in the temple in Jerusalem. Last week, we took a look at that same angel as he visited a young girl, maybe 12 years old, in a small town of Nazareth in Galilee. We've read about Galilee today. Today, we will shift our focus into the book of Matthew, and we will take a look at Joseph and how he fits in to the life and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because, see, Jesus physically is the son of Mary. Amen? Jesus legally is the son of Joseph. But Jesus actually is the Son of God. Amen? Now, Matthew, as we take a look in the book of Matthew today, we'll spend our time in Matthew chapter 1. It has a bit more of a Jewish or a Hebrew flavor to it than Luke does, who is targeted at the Gentiles. And so he has a focus on the coming Messiah and the coming kingdom of God. And at the time of Joseph and Mary, messianic expectations were high. The Romans were all over the place, and the Jews were waiting for a Messiah that would come and do a miracle for them, that he would come and expel the Jews from the Holy Land. And they were indeed looking for a Christmas miracle. Amen? All right, let's take a look. Matthew chapter 1, we'll read about 10 verses today, and we'll start off at verse 17. And the first 17 verses, I start off with the 17th verse because the first 17 verses are the genealogy of Jesus. And you can go back and read them, but Matthew starts off a long time before Joseph and Mary. Starting at verse 17, chapter 1 of Matthew, "Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile in Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah." And Matthew draws us a line from Abraham to Jesus. Okay? He starts off and he puts a focus on Abraham. Now, Abraham was 2,000 years before Jesus, 4,000 years before us as we sit here today. That was a long time coming. You tracking with me? 2,000 years is a bit of a haul. Now, we can take a look at the covenant that God makes with Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. "The Lord had said to Abram," which was Abraham's name before it was changed, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God made a covenant, a promise, a bargain, a deal, a contract with Abraham that he would indeed do a miracle in him, and he would do a miracle through him. God works a mighty miracle through Abraham that reaches beyond him and reaches all nations and even extends to us today. Amen? Amen. Next, Matthew points out, brings our attention to David. We'll lay the context for this. Abraham is 2,000 years before Christ. David is 1,000 years before Christ. 3,000 years before us as we sit here today. And God made a covenant with Abraham. God also made a covenant with David. I'm going to read you from that covenant from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 17. He says, God speaking to David, when your days are over and you go to be, when he's dead, and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. And he is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father. He'll be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor, who was King Saul. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. And Matthew says to his Jewish readers, I want you to remember, I want you to be reminded of the covenant that God makes with David, that from him would come a king that would reign over the kingdom of God. And he says that the kingdom that God establishes is never going to end. Amen? That's good news. Amen? Hallelujah. It's like Christmas time. Now, God makes an emphasis on these covenants at the very beginning of his gospel. He gives them something to grab onto while they're waiting for their miracle. See, the Jews were waiting for blessings that would never end. That kind of sounds like Christmas, doesn't it? Come on, God, do something for us that we can be blessed. Let's continue reading at verse 18. This is how the birth, or this is the beginning, or this is the history, okay, is what Matthew said, that word can be translated, how the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. I want to let you start off this morning with letting you know our Father in heaven is a miracle-working God. He works miracles. We took last week, took a look at it. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is really that strenuous for God. Nothing makes him sweat. Amen? Joseph and Mary are preparing to get married. As they do this, or to accomplish this, they would become engaged. It's something that we're familiar with. They would become betrothed. This would last about a year. Now, the age of betrothal was 12 years old for a girl. Kaylee, come on up here. Real quick, come on. Now, Kaylee's going to be 12 next week, right? Come on up here. Now, I've searched far and wide for a 13-year-old boy. Can't find one. Not here. So, Rocky, little Rocky, come on up here. He is 15, okay? So he's 2 years older, most likely, than Joseph would have been. So, as we, oh, yeah, come on, Papa, there you go. Take a picture. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. I just want to give you guys a visual of what we're talking about here. That now, they would have been betrothed for about a year, right? And things are going along as betrothals go when Mary shows up pregnant. Now, this is about as big a fail on the betrothal as you can come up with. And it was not like it was announced. It became obvious, right? It says that she was found to be pregnant. You women, you fathers, there is a time when there is no doubt that a pregnancy is involved. Amen? Now, gentlemen, I speak from knowledge on this. Never, ever ask a woman when she is due. Because there was one time, the last time I asked that question, when a question mark came upon the woman's face and said, "What are you talking about?" And I tried to exit that conversation as quickly as I could. So, but in Mary's case, it became obvious a failure of the whole engagement thing. But Matthew says there's no failure here. There was no problem here. It says that Mary's pregnancy was a work, a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Last week, as we read from Luke, we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would overshadow her, and that the word that we use there, the Greek word there, was episkiazo. And it says Mary is enveloped in the presence of God, and that God works a miracle in her. And see, the Jews are waiting for a miracle that is for them. But so often God does miracles that are in us or are through us. Big difference there. Santa does stuff for you. And that's always nice. You know, I have talked about God's miraculous call to Lisa and I coming to this church. I've talked about it recently, and Lisa talks about her call, because they were separate calls. I mean, we were married, but God called me, God confirmed the call to her, and I won't share those stories with you again, but I will share with you that neither of us expected to spend 20 years here. Neither one of us expected to raise our children here in San Diego and have them leave our home. See, God does a miracle in you, and everything, a miracle in you, a miracle through you, and everything gets rearranged. Everything got rearranged for Mary, and now everything is getting rearranged for Joseph. You say yes to the miracle of God, God will come in and rearrange things for you. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, let's keep going. Miracles make changes. Verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph chooses to be righteous. And I want to, side note today, no extra charge, I want to let you know that if you're going to be righteous, it's going to take some effort. Now, Joseph is forced into action by the law of Moses. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not. Say that with me. Thou shalt not. That's like an order, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, Joseph cannot remain faithful to the law of Moses and ignore Mary's apparent infidelity. He is forced to act. So Joseph makes a godly decision. He chooses to line up and remain faithful to the law. Now, he could have made a big deal about it. Can you believe this? And be out and throw her out under the bus and expose her to the shame. But the law of Moses allows him to put away Mary, to divorce Mary with only two witnesses. And this allows Joseph to be both righteous and gracious. Not bad. Amen? Yeah. Now, notice in this, we see no response at all from Mary. There is no cry of innocence. There is no plea for mercy. And we read last week that Mary went off to Judea to go see Elizabeth. in her fifth month. It was the sixth month when she got there. She might have stayed there for the pregnancy, the delivery of the baby, and she might have been in town. The focus that Matthew gives on Joseph, and Mary's not even there. But all this is going on, and Mary remains silent. See, when you step into the miracle of God, you do your part, then God does his part. Mary can remain silent because God is going to speak for her. Amen? We see that also as Moses tells the Israelites as they go into war. Exodus chapter 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. All you need to do is remain still. And what you do is you give the Lord space to work on your behalf. Amen? And that is what Mary did. Let's continue on. Matthew chapter 20, chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. But after he had considered this, after Joseph had considered this, after Joseph had come up with the strategy and the decision that he would make, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And we see as Mary is silent, God indeed does step in. We see Joseph is taking the godly way. Joseph is being righteous. Joseph is lining up on the law. He is taking the godly way, but he's not taking God's way. Sometimes the godly way is not God's way. Are you tracking with me on that? Now, Joseph is doing his best to keep lined up on the law and keep lined up on God. To get lined up and stay lined up. Amen? Now, in his godly decision, as he's trying to stay lined up on God, he is indeed veering off course. He is doing it with a completely sincere heart. He is moving and thinking all of his actions are lining him up on God further and further and further. Amen? In that situation, in your situation, if you are genuinely seeking to follow the Lord and you are straying away, you are making the wrong decision, God does not bring correction. God brings redirection. Amen? He says, whoa, Joseph. He's like, my boy, you're going the wrong way. Let's go this way. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Amen? The fear that Joseph has is becoming complicit in the apparent sin of Mary. But God says, there is no sin. God says, don't be afraid. God says, Mary has not been unfaithful to you. She is being faithful to me. Now, I'll tell you what. That's a big pill for a 13-year-old boy to swallow. Amen? 13 years old. God says, I have invited Mary to join me in the redemption of Israel. She will become part of the miracle that I'm going to do. She's going to give birth to a son. His name, Jesus. Jesus is the Greek for Joshua. Means Yahweh saves. You sit here today and you have been saved by the Lord. That is a miracle that God has worked in you. Amen? You sit here today and the Lord is speaking to you and says, you are not saved, but you need to be saved. I will do a miracle in you today if you say yes. See, God does miracles in people and God does miracles through people. Amen? All right. I want to bring some miracle workers up here and experiences. Odysseus, come on up here. And Yuseli, come on up here. Yuseli, twice in a day from the front. Give me a little mic here. She asked me, is there a way that I can get up in front more, Pastor? I said, I'm going to do everything I can for you. Now, what's going to happen is I'm going to ask a question to Odysseus, and she's going to answer in Spanish, and then Yuseli's going to give us the interpretation. Now, Odysseus, you recently experienced a miracle. You're praying to God for a miracle. Can you describe to us your prayer, what you were looking for God to do for you?
Buenos días, ante todo, y que Dios me bendiga a cada uno de ustedes. Yo tengo tantos milagros en mi vida que no sé en este momento qué escoger, pero voy a ser breve. Yo hace 6 años. Hace 6 años una persona puso una semilla de Dios en mi corazón. Persona que estimo mucho y me acompaña en el día de hoy. Pero por cosas de la vida me volví a alejar de Dios. Y el 2 de febrero me arrestaron cruzando por la línea. Y en esos 10 meses Dios hizo muchos milagros en mi caso, muchos, que no podría, el tiempo no alcanza para yo contarles. Me refugié mucho en Dios en esos 10 meses, pero no sabía también que Dios obraba no solamente en mi caso, que hizo el milagro que yo solamente estuviera 10 meses detenida. Obraba también en mis hijos acá afuera. Yo a mi niña la dejé con una amiga y en cada momento le pedí a Dios, Señor, cuida a mi niña. Pónmele una amiga, Señor, que crea en ti, que te tema, Padre Santo, una familia buena, dale favor en todo. Siempre que hablaba con mi niña, nunca le pregunté, siempre me decía que tenía una amiga, que la ayudaba, que la quería, pero jamás pregunté.
Okay. One more. Sonia. Kaylee came and talked to you about her friend. She got this prayer. Right now, let's see how it hits.
Kaylee came home from school one day and said, Mom, my friend needs help. And my first response says, no, we don't know this kid. We don't know her parents. We don't know where she comes from. And then I couldn't stop thinking about that kid. So I said, Lord, if this is from you, then let me know. And he did.
And how did he let you know?
I prayed and I kept saying, no, I couldn't stop thinking about this kid. And then I started worrying about what does this kid need? And then I said, Kaylee, go to school tomorrow and find out if she's got stuff to shower, brush her teeth. What does she need? And she came home with a list.
And
we went over there the next day, and I said, okay, I'm going to have to meet where she's staying at. So I went and talked to this lady, which you guys know I love talking to strangers. So I took all my kids. I went over, and I asked for permission to help this kid out. I said, I don't know her parent. I don't know the situation, and I don't want to know, but I just feel like I need to help.
And when you're done, I'm going to give it back and ask her what she felt after she heard what you were doing.
The lady told me, thank you. She was left with me, and I didn't know how I was going to take care of her.
All right. So then you started bringing her stuff and all that kind of stuff. So all that stuff that was coming in, you're sliding it her way.
I was sending over her way.
All right, so now you can ask her, when she found out that someone was taking care of her, what happened and what happened with the Lord?
Bueno, yo supe que la amiguita hasta que salí, quién era y que era cristiana. Pero yo antes de salir, mi preocupación era
Señor, ¿a qué iglesia me vas a llevar, Padre? Con esto que no tengo carro, tendré que caminar. Iré caminando, Señor. Solo te pido que en menos de una semana. Y inmediatamente que salí, pues supe que Kaylee era cristiana. Me invitaron en la primera semana y hasta me recogieron en mi casa. Es decir, que Dios me trajo aquí. Para poderle dar las gracias por todo lo que esa niña, que es un ángel maravilloso, un ángel terrenal, hizo por mi niña. Porque le pregunté, mami, ¿y eso quién te lo regaló? Kaylee. Y aquello otro, ¿quién te lo compró? Kaylee. Y yo digo, pero nunca me dijo que Kaylee era cristiana. Y por eso supe que Dios siempre está trabajando, no solamente en nuestras vidas, sino en nuestros hijos.
Amen. And this is like in the last, she got out in the last month, right? So, last 2 months. Amen. God's a miracle working God. Amen. Gracias. Now, her name is Odysseus. I've been practicing all week, so you can get that. See, you know, God rearranges stuff to work a miracle in you and through you. Can you see that? Can you feel that? Are you blessed by that? Are you blessed by that? Come on. I'm blessed by that. I got tingles right here. I don't know. Maybe it's from the air conditioning. But, all right, here we go. We're almost done. Hallelujah. The Lord gives direction. Matthew 1, 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Prophet Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God comes close to us to guide us. And he came close to the Jews to guide them. Now, Matthew quotes from the prophet Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And what is going on at this time is there is fear that is rolling through Jerusalem and through Judah. Aram, a kingdom to the north, has aligned with the northern kingdom to come and to bring war against Judah and against Jerusalem. And because of this alliance, there is great fear, and the people are completely worried. And Isaiah says, it is not this northern alliance that you really need to worry about. What you need to worry about is losing your connection with God. This northern alliance, they have lost their connection, and God is going to bring judgment upon them from an invasion through Assyria. And God tells Jerusalem, he says, if you lose this connection, if you do not maintain your connection with me, you will be caught up in this invasion from Assyria. Now, Assyria invades into the northern kingdom and Aram, and those two kingdoms are destroyed in 721 BC. Assyria does not stop at Aram in the northern kingdom, but invades all of Israel, the rest of Judea in the south, and lays siege to Jerusalem. And they have broken their connection with God. That connection is reestablished by King Hezekiah as he cries out to God in the temple, and the Lord rescues Jerusalem from the clutches of Assyria and sends out the death angel and puts to death 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. Jerusalem is spared. There's a parallel to the time of Jesus, that indeed the Jews have again lost their connection with God. And because of the loss of that connection, Jerusalem and the Holy Land is overrun by Rome. God again comes near to guide them and to direct them. But they miss him. Jesus says, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. See, so often God comes close But sometimes we say no. Last thing I got for you today. Verses 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. Took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph gets the offer. And Joseph joins in. Joseph did what the angel of the Lord commanded. You know what they call that? They call that obedience. It is part of the plan. If you want to be part of a miracle of God, you're going to want to be obedient. Joseph took Mary home as his wife. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. Paul says, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. God was moving through Joseph in the same way that he was moving through Mary. Now, they did not consummate their marriage until Joseph was born. He who has a wife has a good thing. Amen. They did not consummate their marriage. You don't understand that? Ask your parent later. Until Jesus was born. See, Jesus was conceived of a virgin. And he was born of a virgin. Now, they come to marriage age. Let's say that they were betrothed at 12 and 13. So what we see after they are married, he took them home as his wife, a 13 and a 14-year-old boy and girl are able to abstain because of respect for the plan of God and the miracle of God. And then if you're in here today, because your youth are up here today, and you are 12 or 13 or 16 or 18, you have the ability to grab onto this standard that you can indeed control yourself, that you are not a wild animal that is just just held captive by your desires. And if you are a parent of somebody this age, you can hold them to that standard. If you don't have a child this age, you can grab onto that standard as well, because you are able to exhibit self-control. Can I get a witness on that? A little side note there. No extra charge. God's miracle begins to work through Joseph and Mary. The miracle promised through Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. The miracle promised through David, there will be a king that comes from your blood that will reign on my throne forever. See, God does miracles in people, and God does miracles through people. At least you can come up. What I want to end with today is I don't want you to be afraid to be part of the miracle. That's what the angel said to Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. What is conceived in her comes from God. And you can participate in this, and you can be part of the miracle of God as he blesses all nations through you. And that promise that ran from Abraham 2,000 years before ran through David and runs right through Joseph and Mary and comes right in this room today. We've been looking at people that have been impacted by the miracle of God. See, we looked last week at Mary. Mary says yes to the miracle, and her life is radically transformed. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Elizabeth. Says yes. Her life is radically transformed. Today we see Joseph says yes. His life is radically transformed. See, God does a miracle in and through you. Nothing ever is the same. We looked 2 weeks ago at Zechariah. He had a hiccup, but he got to a yes. His life was transformed. King David had a hiccup called Bathsheba. Got over it, said yes, became part of the miracle of God. See, these people could have said no. Can you imagine? You know, they could have been surrounded by no's. And the miracle of God weaves right around all those no's into the yeses to impact who? All nations. To establish a kingdom that will never end. Amen? A promise comes right through this room today. 20 years ago, with Lisa and I. So many of you have said yes. So many of your lives are being impacted and changed by the miracle of God as He does a miracle in you and a miracle through you. Amen? Can you imagine saying no? You know, I talk to people about the call to this church. They said, you're going to go to that little church? God had confirmed His message. So what am I going to do, say no to God? I literally had a pastor. I literally had a minister say, I wouldn't go there. Can you imagine? 20 years. Kids grew up here. So many of you said yes to God. Can you imagine saying no? Some of you are here today. Message for you that God has for you today is the same one He said to Joseph. Don't be afraid. Because many of you, some of you, have had a hiccup. I'm so afraid. I don't want my life to be changed. I want a Santa God that'll do miracles for me. I don't necessarily want a miracle in me or through me. I don't want to put forth the effort. I'm afraid. Lisa and I could have said no. I can't imagine. Maybe you're here this morning. You've been afraid. You're here this morning and you have said no. Got a hiccup. You can get over that hiccup. And you can say yes. Say, God, do a miracle in me. Do a miracle through me. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that You are good and mighty. Lord, I thank You for Joseph. I thank You for the obedience and the faithfulness in Joseph and his desire to continue to be lined up on You and the redirection that You bring to his life. The sacrifice he makes. Sacrifice Mary makes. The sacrifice Elizabeth and Zechariah make. The sacrifice that David and Abraham made. Sacrifice so many in this room have made. I thank You for the miracle that You work in us and through us, Lord. I thank You for 20 years in this place, Lord. The ability to serve You. Lord, I had long hiccups. I had 30 years of hiccups in my life. I got over them. You work a miracle in me. Maybe you're here this morning. You got a hiccup that you're working on right now. You're saying, you know, Lord, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to live my life anymore. I want to live Your life. Once you surrender, once you say yes to God, life be totally rearranged. But I tell you, living that life that's been rearranged, I never want to go back. And you ask many people in this room, they never want to go back. You're here this morning, you got a hiccup that's going on. You got a no that's on your lips, and you want to change it to a yes, and you want to be become part of the miracle of God. Real quick, just slide your hand up. See, that's me this morning. I want to be part of that miracle. Somebody else, see, that's me. I want to know You. Right over here, somebody else, see, that's me. Somebody else, say, I want that miracle in me. God, You can rearrange my life. I want to do You to do a miracle through me. Anybody else? Pause just a moment. Hallelujah, I see your hand. Lord, I thank You for those to come. Worship team can come. Thank You for those, Lord, that have said yes to the Lord. There is a yes on their lips. And Lord, I thank